Wow. He is worthy. There is no doubt about it that when we sang those words that I believe that God was honored in that, that if you sang them from your heart and believed in your heart that he alone is worthy. There is no other. And we get together this morning and we fellowship together, we worship together, and it's just a taste, just a touch of what I believe the heaven's going to be like. When we have the opportunity to see God face to face and worship him for who he is. I know that we can worship him in spirit and truth here, and we do, but I believe there's a day coming that we're all looking forward to. So I welcome you this morning to the service here again this morning and to the preaching of the word. And I am going to continue a bit with that theme of being genuine. And in Matthew chapter 16, you can turn there, starting at verse 23, but looking again at the scriptures here and trying to take out a few thoughts from them. The last time that I preached, I talked about denying yourself, and we all know that is a challenge in and of itself is to deny ourselves, and then what he calls us to today is another step. And so we're going to look at this scripture and see what God has for us here this morning. So looking at Matthew 16, starting at verse 23, it says, "But he," that's Jesus, "turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.' Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works.'" Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to anoint our thoughts here this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to look at your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the written word. And I thank you, Father, for your spirit that is going to lead and guide our thoughts here this morning. I pray that you would oversee the words that come from my mouth, from your heart, Lord, to the ear of the hearer, that it would not be defiled, but would be to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We have opportunity this morning to look at the word and to hear the word, but what I want for you this morning more than anything is that you will connect with the Spirit of God speaking to you. Because I can say all the things I can think of to say, and it means nothing unless the Spirit speaks it into your spirit, and then it grows out of that and fruit comes out of that. So looking at the title of the message this morning, obviously, is Take Up Your Cross. And I know for many of us, we're wondering, well, what does that really mean? What does it mean to take up our cross? And I believe that we'll take a little bit of a look at this and see if we can and unwrap that a little bit as we unfold this message here this morning. But looking at the question that I asked when I started this here series was, are you all in? And I asked that question this morning again. Are you all in for Jesus? Are you all in for the kingdom of God? Are you committed to? Are you all in? You're giving it your all. There's a place where you start where you can't go back. And I, a simple illustration, not real profound or anything, but I was moving a track loader one day when I was working for an excavator, started with a low boy, started down a hill. Well, I got to the top of the hill and I realized the road was icy. And there's a point where I had to make up my mind because I couldn't back up. The only way was to go forward. And so there was a point as I started over the crest of the hill and started down the hill, there was no turning back. And I believe that if we are going to be true followers of Jesus Christ, if we are going to deny ourselves, if we are going to take up the cross, then we need to consider the count. We need to consider what it's going to cost us to continue on this route. And I believe that God is offering to each and every one of us the power, the strength, the boldness to be able to continue and to take up our cross. And it occurred to me that as this here scripture unfolds, it says that in verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, and I believe that's where we're all at. We have a desire to come after him. We have a desire to follow him. And he said, this is the way it is done. There is no other way. This is the way it is done. You need to deny yourself, and you need to take up your cross and follow me. And so in taking up our cross, or denying, first of all, in denying self, and this is the theme I want you to capture this morning in this message, is that in the theme here is that in the denying of self, you need to lay something down in order to take something up. You need to lay down self in order to take up the cross. I cannot carry the cross. I cannot take up my cross if I am carrying myself. Are you with me? We need to lay down self in order to take up the cross this morning. And that is where I believe we find ourselves at in this scripture. Are you genuine this morning? And that's the word that I want to focus on again as we go through this here, this year, is just, are you genuine this morning? Last Sunday, Dave talked about humility and being genuine with humility. And I asked the question this morning, are you all in? Are you genuine? Are you a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? Because you know and I know that there are enough of counterfeits in the world today. There are enough of self-proclaimed Christians who just look such on the outside, but when you get to the core, it's not real, it's not true, it's not genuine. When a coin that is gold, if it's only gold on the outside and there's tin in the middle or whatever it is, it's not genuine. It's not a genuine gold piece. And there are so many things. I was amused at a documentary I watched one time on how at the ports, the stuff that's being imported into America, and how they have to watch for counterfeit stuff. There is tons and tons of counterfeit merchandise coming into the states that they intercept at the border time and time again. I ask, are you genuine? Are you genuine? The Bible says this. Well, let's look at verse 23. It says, but he turned, and Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. And why did he say this? Why would he turn to Peter and say, get behind me, Satan? And I wonder how many of us that would have been there and observing that would have really felt like Jesus is really loving in his statement that he made to Peter. This is why he said what he said to Peter. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. And I got to wondering about if we are living lives that are not accurate, that are not genuine, that are not real with the world that is around us, then we become an offense to Jesus. We become an offense to him if our minds, our hearts, and our energy is all put towards the things of this world, and we follow after this world. We become an offense. None of us want to be that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be an offense to Jesus, but we become an offense to him if we are mindful of the things of this world and not the things of God. And so I think this whole scripture here is just drawing our minds and our hearts again to Jesus saying, you need to be all in for me. You can't be partial. You can't give half of yourself to the world and half of yourself to me. You need to be all in for me. You need to deny self. In Luke 14, 27, it says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It is not possible to be his disciple if we do not bear his cross and come after him. It's not possible. We live in a day of casual Christianity. I've heard it said that the average church could drop about a fourth of its members and nobody would notice, not even the ones that were dropped. kind of far out. Now, I'm not saying whether that's true or not, but I ask this question, are you committed? And I thank you this morning for the commitment that I see at New Covenant. Thank you. Thank you for your commitment to following the Lord. Thank you for your commitment to walking after him. And I know that this morning that there are many things that we get challenged with on a daily basis that would call our hearts and our minds away from being all in and committed. Thank you for being committed. Casual Christians are those that want to be numbered among the flock, but they don't give any honor to the shepherd. They could care less about the shepherd, Jesus Christ, our shepherd, God our shepherd. But we want to be part of the flock. We need to have our, somehow we're somehow satisfied, or we're I don't know what to call it, that if our name is on some membership roll, that then we're okay. It's good. We're part of a church. Am I saying you shouldn't be on a membership roll? Absolutely not. I believe that when you get saved, when you become born again, when you plug into the body of Christ, then you become part of it. And you make a commitment to it. But there are those today, those casual Christians, as long as their name is on the list, they're just going through life. Never once taking up the cross. They want the forgiveness of the cross that Christ brings, but never intend to carry their own cross. They want the forgiveness of what the cross brings, but no intent of carrying my own cross. They want the warm, fuzzy moments on Sunday mornings, but offer no commitment to Jesus on Monday mornings. Do the people in your lunchroom know that you're a child of God and that you are committed to him, that you walk with him, and that he is everything to you? Do the people in your schoolroom know that you are a child of God, that you walk with God, and that you're one with him, and that you honor him? Do the people that you live beside, the people that you work beside, do they know? Do they know? The people, your families, do they know that you are committed to laying down yourself and taking up your cross and carrying it with pride for Jesus Christ? Because taking up the cross means that things will not be easy. The cross does not represent some little emblem that's hanging around somebody's neck, shining gold. It is not what is hanging on the side of a church building. The cross is a cruel instrument of torture that was used by the Romans to kill people. And when Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and what? Take up his cross. Not get around the cross, not kick the cross out of the way, not move the cross to the side. He said, take up the cross and follow me. Go where I'm going. And you know where he went? When he started down that road, there was no turning back. When he started towards Calvary carrying that cross, there was no turning back. And I ask you this morning, have you taken up the cross, and are you willing to go the whole way with Jesus? Are you willing to go to Calvary with him? Are you willing to carry your cross? You can't carry someone else's. You can't carry someone else's cross. You might look at somebody else and say, well, their cross is much easier than mine. Why couldn't I carry their cross? No, God saw you, and he gave you the cross that was yours. He saw you for who you are. He saw what you needed. He saw what your life was. And he knew that the cross that you would carry would be an honor to him. Be an honor to him. Are you with me? An honor to him. An honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not allowed to come to God on our own terms. We come to God on his terms. If anyone desires to follow me, to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This here, come after me. This can be an invitation. If you're here this morning, if you've not been born again, If you're here this morning and you have not yielded your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is an invitation for Jesus saying, come after me. Come after me. Come to me. Maybe you're here this morning and you did give your life to the Lord and you realize that you're at a place where you have backslidden. You know, there's so much in the world that we can be committed. We're all in and we think that we're in and we're committed, and all of a sudden we're blindsided with something. And so I believe that there's times that we need to take a look and say, am I really coming after him? Is he really the only thing that matters in my life? Is he really? Because we're under constant temptation, and times we may need to take it back. And as I said earlier, we look at this scripture and we see the concept of having to lay down self in order to pick something up. And I remember the days when I got out of school. I worked for a feed mill, and I loved chocolate milk and honey buns. I would stop occasionally at the Turkey Hill and get a chocolate milk and a honey bun. And then I'd get to a job, and I had to finish my chocolate milk and honey bun because I was delivering bagged feed at that time, which were 100-pound bags. And so I did not figure out a way to drink my honey bun and eat my chocolate milk. I did not figure out a way to do that and carry a 100-pound bag at the same time. Are you with me? I had to put down the honey bun to carry the bag, which was the job that I was called to do. What are the pleasures that you might be carrying? What are the pleasures that you might need to lay down in order to take up the cross? Are there some things in your life that are keeping you from truly taking up the cross? Carrying it for Jesus. Are there things? So we need to put something down. We need to deny ourselves in order to lift something up, to pick up the cross. Galatians 6:14 says this, but God forbid, Paul said, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. It was by the cross that the world was crucified to him, and he to the world. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Do you boast in the cross with Paul this morning? Are you able to say along with Paul that it was in the cross, it is the cross that has made you pure? It is the cross that has made you whole? It is the cross that has turned you off from the world and on to Jesus. Romans 12:1, and we're familiar with that. No need to turn there. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That means surrendered. Giving your body a living sacrifice, totally disconnected, totally denying the world and giving your body a living sacrifice, taking up the cross, taking up the hard stuff that comes with a commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And when I say take up the cross, when I say take up your cross, I'm not talking about your mother-in-law, okay? That's not a cross. Come on. That's just part of life, okay? I believe that the cross that Jesus talks about, what he represents here, what he's talking about, this cross is from following him. He says, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. It is the decision that you have made to follow Jesus Christ, that when things get hard, things get difficult, that you will recognize that it is because of your decision to follow Christ. Have you presented your body a living sacrifice this morning? Have you presented your body a living sacrifice to the world, to show the world that when the hard things come, when there's difficulty because of your choice to follow Jesus Christ, that you will respond in a way that says, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me. I carry the cross. I carry the cross not as a woe is me, but I carry the cross because I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I carry the cross. That's why I experience the things I'm experiencing in the spiritual world, or whether it be relationships. In this community, what we live in here in America, we're not being persecuted. We're not being killed. Our fingernails are not being pulled out because we're followers of Jesus Christ. But I believe that we are, at the same time, probably mentally, physically, not physically as much, but spiritually, we are being persecuted. And maybe you're here this morning and you've experienced that. Denying self is the first command, and we take a look at that. The cross was a common, horrific Roman death instrument, one that Jesus willingly died on for the penalty of our sin. If you're looking for good news, that's good news. That Jesus willingly died on the cross for your and my sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can say it. Hallelujah. This morning, because Jesus chose to die on that cross for you and me. And the simple thing he has asked is that we take up our cross and follow him. And follow. It might mean the same thing. It might mean death. It may not. Does Jesus mean that we should go and find some wooden thing and nail it together and carry it around like I think some monks used to do? I don't think that's what he's asking. I don't believe that's what he's asking. But metaphorically, we're to pick up our cross. We are to take up our cross and we are to follow him, not to put some wooden thing together and carry it around and say, woe is me. But I've got just a few comments from Matthew Henry. He says this: every disciple of Christ hath his cross and must count upon it. As each hath his special duty to be done, so each hath his special trouble to be borne, and every one feels most from his own burden. Crosses are the common lot of God's children, but of this common lot, each hath his particular share. That is our cross, which infinite wisdom has appointed for us, a sovereign providence has laid on us as fittest for us. It's interesting to follow, so you gotta stay with it. It is good for us to call the cross we are under our own and entertain it accordingly. We are apt to think we could bear such a one's cross better than our own, but that is best which is, and we ought to make the best of it. Every disciple of Christ must take up that which the wise God hath made his cross. Every disciple of God must take up. Our rule is not to, I'm skipping a few paragraphs, our rule is not to go a step out of the way of duty. This is important. Our rule is not to go a step out of the way of duty, either to meet a cross or to miss one. We must not, by our rashness and our indiscretion, pull crosses down upon our heads, but must take them up when they are laid in our way. We must so manage an affliction that it may not be a stumbling block or a hindrance to us in any service we have to do for God. We must take it up out of our way by getting over the offense of the cross. By getting over it, we take it up and we carry it. Not woe is me, but I carry it because it is, and God has given it to me to carry. And this is what Matthew Henry goes on. He says, we should not say, this is an evil and I must bear it because I cannot help it. But we should say, this is an evil that I will bear. And this is an evil and I will bear it because it shall work for my good. When we rejoice in our afflictions and glory in them, then we take up the cross. When we rejoice in our afflictions and glory in them, then we take up the cross. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been ridiculed by family, you've been ridiculed by friends because of who you are in Christ. When we glory in our afflictions, then we take up the cross. A quote from Wesley on this here verse 24. Cross-bearing does not refer to this to some irritation in life. Rather, it involves the way of the cross. The picture is of a man already condemned, required to carry his cross on the way to the place of execution as Jesus was required to do. Trapp says this about verse 24. Every Christian must be a Crucian, said Luther, and do somewhat more than those monks that made themselves wooden crosses and carried them on their back continually, making all the world laugh at them. And I like best what Wordsby says. Denying self is not the same as self-denial. Denying self is not the same as self-denial. We practice self-denial when, for a good purpose, we occasionally give up things or activities. But we deny self when we surrender ourselves to Christ and determine to obey His will. When we determine to obey His will. When we take up our cross, we can expect pain. I believe that when you take up the cross, you can expect pain. It isn't something that should be a surprise to you. I was at school one day, we were playing and having fun, and you might remember me saying this story, but all of a sudden, I wound up with a broken arm. Both bones broke right here. It was hanging down, nasty. It was broken. We were having fun, moving right along, having fun, a good day, and all of a sudden, I was hit with pain like I had never had. And I believe that today, one of the things, if we would understand that when we take up our cross as followers of Christ, we can expect that there will be pain. We can expect it. It should not blindside us. It should not take us off guard. It should be that we understand and we are willing and we know that taking up the cross, there's going to be pain that we will suffer. It may not be a physical pain, but it might be for following Christ. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What? I've overcome the world. I am with you. There's going to be tribulation. There will be pain. When you take up your cross, there will be pain. The cross is not painless. Praise God that it ends and says, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. You need to know that when you take up the cross, there's going to be suffering. But He overcame the world. The suffering is temporary. The suffering is temporary. It is not for eternity. Because when you take that last breath, if you've been born again, washed in the blood, then the cross is done away with. No more pain, no more sorrow. All those things will be done away with. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 through 30 says, for which of you intending, and this is the thing that I think is important to us, is that we consider the cost, that when we take up the cross, that there's going to be pain. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he is enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. If you've taken up the cross this morning, have you taken up the cross with the assurance that you have in your heart that you're here to go the whole way? You're in it. You're all in. You're in it no matter what. You're going the whole way. Here's a reality. The disciples, the 12 disciples, all lost their lives physically. They lost their lives for following Jesus. We have not physically been persecuted or tormented or been nailed to crosses or anything like that for following Jesus Christ. But I bet there are some of you here this morning that have been abused physically or have been abused spiritually, mentally. You've been called a bigot. You've been called all kinds of names. You're a bigot. You're a homophobic. You're a conservative. You're a legalist. There are things that you have been labeled because you have chosen to follow Christ. And I challenge you again this morning to remember that's your cross. That is your cross. Carry it to the honor and glory of God. Maybe you've been verbally abused by someone who calls himself a brother or sister, and it doesn't make sense. But I believe that when we take up our cross, we can expect loneliness. When we take up the cross, you can expect loneliness. And I believe that we see the scriptures where the crowds were following Jesus, but at the time when Jesus took up that cross and headed for Calvary, when he took up the cross and headed for the hill, I believe that he was alone as he could ever get. There's loneliness that comes. John 19, 17 says, And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha. He was already in pain. His breathing was hard. And he carried his cross. And you don't hear him complaining. He carried the cross because he knew what the end was. Just as you and I this morning, that no matter what your cross that you're carrying this morning, keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the one that walks with you. Keep your eye on him. Luke chapter 12 says, 49 through 53 says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish that it were already kindled, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. This is Jesus speaking. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe that there is probably, not to tell you, I believe this morning that there are people sitting here this morning who have been rejected by their families because they have chosen to follow Christ. You may be here this morning and your family has disowned you. You may be here this morning and you're not part of the intricate part of your family anymore because you have chosen to walk with God. That is a cross for you to bear. Maybe you're here this morning and your friends, they don't invite you to their parties anymore because you don't drink the drinks that they drink. You don't smoke the stuff that they smoke. You don't watch the movies that they watch. You don't listen to the music that they listen to. They don't invite you anymore. You have chosen to follow Christ. You have chosen to walk with him. And this morning, you have a cross that you're carrying. It costs friendship. There's an unexpected loneliness, or there's an expected, it should be expected. There's a partnership also, though, that goes along with this. And this is what is beautiful. We always, when we carry our cross, we have the God the Father cheering us on, encouraging us on, helping us along. He is here he's here to walk with you. He doesn't take the cross away. But he walks with you. He walks beside you. See, you're in partnership with him. You are in partnership. I think about how our brothers, when we got together, my brothers and I got together to mulch at my mom and dad's house. You know, for one person, it would have been a great job. It would have been a big job to do. But as we partnered together, we were able to do it. And I believe that as a body of believers, as a body of believers, as we partner together, as you recognize this morning that person sitting beside you is carrying a cross as well as you are carrying a cross. And that when we partner together, we can make it. We can do it. That person sitting beside you is carrying a cross also. You're not the only one with a cross. Every follower of Jesus Christ has a cross, because you cannot follow Christ without laying down, denying self, and taking up your cross. So every believer, every person that is sitting in this church this morning has a cross. And are we partnering together to carry those crosses together? Are we encouraging each other on? Maybe you grew up in a church that, or a place or a setting that heard tons of Bible, but it was all the good stuff. There's all good stuff. It's all going to be good. If you get saved and you follow Christ, everything's going to be good. No, it's not. And some of us have had to learn that in a hard way. And no, it's not. It's not all good. Do we have a joy that is beyond compare to anything else? Absolutely. Jesus came that our joy might be full and complete. And we can carry our crosses joyfully. We can carry our crosses with joy and with purpose. But I believe many times we're not told enough that there is pain. There is difficulty. And we get slapped upside the head. We get taken off guard. And we want to turn back. We want to turn back. So I'm here to tell you this morning, it is a true joy to follow Christ, to walk with Him. The cross is ugly, it's hard, it's rough, it's difficult, but you can do it because of the Holy Spirit within you, because God's cheering you on. God's on your side. God is the one that will take you through. God is the one that will walk you through to the end. And yes, it is a joy. It is a true joy to follow Jesus. When I get myself out of the way, that the things that are happening are to purify me, they are to make me, they are to build me, they are to shape me. Christ bearing His cross has a whole multitude and multitudes of believers following Him, carrying their crosses. We don't come to Christ only because of the benefits that we receive, but also for the crosses that we bear, because that cross leads to glory. That cross leads to glory. Hallelujah. The cross bearing of the believer is what cleanses us. It's what enriches us. It is what makes us genuine. It's what makes us genuine. Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to look again at Your word. I thank You, Father, for the challenge that we have to lay down self, to take up the cross. God, I know that there are those this morning that are wondering, how in the world am I to carry this cross another step? And I believe that there are people that will come alongside of them and encourage them and help them to carry their cross. God, I thank You this morning that we have opportunity to look at Your word and know the end of the story. God, it is so beautiful to be able to come to You and know that You have walked this path. You went this way. You know what You're talking about when You wrote this book. And that we are able to lean on it, we are able to glean from it, and we are able to accomplish what You have set us out to do. So, Father, I'm inviting that You would touch whoever's here this morning that feels like they can't take another step. Encourage them, Lord, to take another step, and then to take another step. And that in the end, there is such a beautiful glory waiting that it will be worth it all. There is nothing that can compare to the glory that is prepared for us. And we receive that, Father. That is our goal. It is what we want. It is our desire for the church here at New Covenant, that we would continue to walk in holiness, in boldness, seeing you as our Father and the goal being heaven. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the chorister to come and lead us in a closing song.